How many of you this week thought about complaining and not doing it because of it, right? How many of you? Some of you? Okay, good. Well, hopefully this week it'll work too. This week we're going to talk about whispers. I think that we don't have as many people today. I'm banking on that it was the weather that is keeping them away, and that or they are still working on the lying portion and don't want to get into the second part yet. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Probably not, but it sounded good. We're going to go on with our sermon series, My Big Fat Mouth. How many of you know we get into trouble with the things that we say? Scripture tells us that there's the power of life and death in the tongue. And you say, well, what does that mean? That's what we're talking about the next couple of weeks. And the last week, the fourth week of it, next week we're going to talk about lies. And then the fourth week we're going to talk about speaking life. How many of you know it's not only not saying the wrong things, but we need to be saying the right things as well. Amen? So, last Sunday we talked about complaining. We're going to talk about whispers, rumors, gossip. How many know whispers? Why do you whisper? So you want some people to hear, but not everyone, right? Like, sometimes whispers are good, like when I'm getting onto my kids in the middle of the church service. It would be bad for me to yell at that moment, right? You guys, y'all gonna have to get with me here a little bit this morning. Okay, it'd be bad for me to yell at that time. It would be good for me to say, hey, y'all need to stop that, right? Instead of quit it, then everyone else knows what's happening in the thing. Those of you who have kids know that point. Those of you who don't will understand one day, or I don't know, maybe you won't ever get it, but it's important. In regards to gossip, I guarantee you every single one of us could say, I know someone who gossips. I know someone who, that is them. I know them. Maybe you've heard gossip recently. Or maybe you have a problem with your mouth and you speak a little bit too much gossip. How many of you know we can disguise it at times to be what we want it to be? And it still be gossip. Still be things that we shouldn't say. It happens all the time. And the question, why do we hear it all the time? Why is it all the time that we hear gossip from different places? And the Bible gives us an answer. Proverbs 18:8 says this: the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. How many of you know, once you heard something, you can't unhear it? How many of you know whether it's true or not, and somebody speaks something to you, the next time you see the person it was spoken about, that's the first thing you think about? Right? That's the first thing that's there. The New Century Version says it like this. I like this a little better. It says, the words of a gossip are like tasty bits of food. People like to gobble them up. People like we like to hear it, right? People come and you'll be in a regular conversation and someone says, did you hear this? I'm like, no, tell me more, right? Like, I want to know more about this that you're talking about, right? What happened? How did it happen? Why did it happen? It's like tasty morsels. So, thinking about this thought, how many of you love potato chips? I like potato. How many of you like classic Lay's potato chips? Just so you know, Miss Jackie, I see you really like them because Rusty's pointing at you like that. So it's like Lay's potato chips. They're lightly salted. They're delicious little bits of potato, like baby angels in your mouth, right? That's just like heaven. Little taste of heaven. I don't know about that. Where'd that come from? I don't know. They're tasty bits of potatoes, right? And I can't eat just one. How many of you know you open the bag, you can't eat just one? Pringles does the same thing, right? Once you pop, you can't stop. So you already know that. But in 1961, they said about these little delicious pieces of potato, their tagline was this: bet you can't just eat one. How many of you know you put one in there, no matter how big it is, it's not big enough? Right? You have to go back down and get another one. And that's what gossip is like. I'm eating plant-based. I'm sure that potatoes are a plant. I'm not sure what they're fried in is, but the word says, the words of gossip are like tasty bits of food. People like to gobble them up. And we need to understand that. And it brings us to this thought. And think this thought. If gossip were food, many people would be overweight. Right? If gossip was food, many people would be overweight. You say, well, you can't talk about weight. I can. I understand it, right? I go through it. I battle it. It's one of those things. And you know what? If it was easy to stay away from the things that weren't good for you, we wouldn't have an issue with it, right? If it was easy, I listened to a message this week by Stephen Furtick, man, and one of the things that he said was I like what it does for me, but I don't like what it does to me. How many of you know that's, like, I love eating it in the middle of it. I had a pizza yesterday over in Cocoa Beach, and it was just amazing. It was just, y'all know I'm plant-based right now, but it was a meat pizza, and it was covered with all kind of animal goodness, and it was just, it was great. And I ate so much, and you know, I loved it when it was going down. I didn't like it this morning when I got on the scale. Walt, it's all your fault. Well, it's all your fault. One of those things. It was so good. But that's what gossip is to us. That's what talking about other people does. How many of you know it feels really, really good at that time? But then you get in front of them and what happens? You start to feel inside like, oh man, last time I was talking about them, it wasn't such a great thing. And it's funny how gossip. The funny thing about gossip is the more that you share it, so the more you tell it and the more you hear it and then the more you repeat it, the more it's shared, the further it actually comes from the truth. How far away it gets. It's like it starts here and then it ends up something completely different at the end. How many of you know that can happen with your regular conversation? I could be having a conversation with Christopher, and I can say something to Christopher, and by the time Christopher gets to somebody else, it's a little bit different. Right? And then he shares it with Jules, and then it's a little bit different. And then she shares it with my wife, and it's a little bit ends up being a lot, right? So, man, when I was in the Navy, we used to drive the boat as part of the bosun mates. We were up on a deck. Now, he would told us what to do, where to steer, and the speed control, and all those things. But if we were just a degree off within an hour, do you know how far off course we were? A long way off course. And guess who got in trouble? Not the guy that gave us the heading. It was the one that was driving the boat, right? The one that was steering. Hopefully the shift had changed it and they blamed it on somebody else. But that didn't always happen, right? Just one little bit off and it changes everything. So as a youth pastor, man, we used to play this game. Kids pastor too for years. We played this game called telephone game. I don't know if any of you ever heard it. We used to have two teams. And we would like, reason why we did two teams, because you always had that one guy. How many of you know, there's always that one guy that does it, right? You would have that one guy that would just change it to be something completely stupid just because, right? You'd be like, God is good. And it'd be like, purple elephants have wings, right? At the end, there's just one dude that would do it. So you had two teams because they were trying to beat each other. And you would start with the same phrase at both ends. And they could whisper it one time to the person next to them. And it had to go all the way down. And then by the end, how many of you know, it was never, ever the same. It was always different. So you tried to guess who was the best at doing whatever. But it was one of those situations that the more it was told, the bigger it gets, or the farther from the truth it gets, right? It's like catching a fish. Caught a fish this big. By the time I tell 16 people, it's like, pow, right? That's what happens. We gossip and go do those things. And this is the thing. If you've ever been stung by gossip, then you know that it's not a game, right? You know that it's not a game. You know that it hurts, that it's difficult. Maybe you've lost a friendship over some gossip that somebody shared. Or maybe you were really, really embarrassed by something that was said about you. And so because of that, you withdraw and come back. Why? Because it hurts. Whatever the case is, man, gossip isn't a laughing matter. And the problem with it is many times it's very difficult to see it in the mirror when we're sharing it, right? How many of you can look at somebody else's conversation and be like, well, you're just gossiping. But then you turn around and you're talking about the same thing. Did you know what so-and-so was saying? Because they were just gossiping, right? Like, wait, let's back up. Why are you wearing that shoe? why you put those shoes on and walked away with them? That's that thing. Have you ever heard about the shoes? Like, if you don't see where somebody's coming from, walk a mile in their shoes. And then if you still don't agree with them, it's okay because you're a mile away from them and you got their shoes. So, just a thought. Sorry. That wasn't in my notes. I just threw that one in for free. We do a lot of things differently when it's ourselves doing it. And the fact is that sometimes we disguise prayer or disguise gossip as prayer requests. Hey, we need to pray for so-and-so. You know what happened to them, right? No, tell me more so we can pray, right? Or sometimes people say, well, it's true. But how many of you know just because it's true doesn't mean it's not gossip? Doesn't mean it's not gossip. Listen to this, man. I want you to hear this and put this into play in your life. Everything that is said should be true. Not everything true should be said. How many of you know there's some things that you need to keep with yourself? You need to pray about. You say, hey, Shane needs some prayer. What does he need prayer about? God already knows. Just pray about Shane, right? Just say, God, help Shane with whatever he's going through. How many of you know God will answer that prayer? God doesn't need all the details. So if it's about prayer, we can say, hey, we're taking prayer requests this morning. Hey, pray for Fred. He's sick. Well, what does he have? Doesn't matter. He's sick. He needs healing. Let's pray for it. Let's pray. Let's start doing that. And guess what? When anytime anybody says that to you, guess what? You'll change. Guess what? You'll change. We need to understand that there is so much power in the words that we speak. Our words have the power to give life and the power to take life away. I was talking with Aaron. He still didn't send me that video. This is just a reminder, friendly reminder. Send me that video. There's a video of a scientist that did an experiment with water, right? And they took three glasses of water. You say, this is ridiculous. But think about it. He did it, so it worked. There was one glass that they had in one place and they spoke positive things to. They had one neutral glass, and then they had one glass that they spoke negative things to, right? And you say, well, that's absurd. It's water. Yes, but then they froze the water, and what happened was on the one that positivity was spoken, the crystals that formed the ice were amazingly beautiful, right? And then the one that they spoke negativity to had jagged edges and was all mismatched and done different directions. And thinking this thought, how much water is in the human body? Like 96%, 98%, something? Whole lot of water? So how much of an effect do we have about positivity, right? Being positive, speaking life, or the adverse effect? What change are we creating in people physically because of sickness? How many of you know people that are always complaining about being sick are always sick? Yes, sir. It's always something different. Well, how are you this week? Well, that's better, but now this is coming, right? We have the power to speak life. We can either build someone up or tear them down. Again, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Again, keep your words sweet. You might have to eat them. You might have to eat them. That was from last week. The question is, what do you want to be known for when you speak to people? Do you want to be known as the person that gossips and talks bad about everyone behind their back? Or do you want to be the person that stands up and does the right thing? That doesn't allow things like that to come into their life. You know, one of the main things that you could say is, hey, that's my friend. Don't talk about him like that. Right? That or, that, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to cliffhang you. We'll wait on that one. You can get to it in a minute. We need to speak encouragement, not tear somebody down. Because we have to be responsible for the words that we speak. How many of you know that's one of the things about Facebook that everybody understands? Like, I'm not responsible. I can say whatever I want. It doesn't really matter, right? I mean, they may put me in Facebook jail, but I'll be out and can speak again, right? It's one of those things. We need to put a filter on our big fat mouth. Okay, let me say it like this. Don't be offended. I need to put a filter on my big fat mouth. And if the shoe fits, wear it too. Think before you speak. So I have this called acronym, right, where you put the first letter of a word and it says all these different things, right? So I want you to think before you speak. And if we do this, how many of you know it'll help us not talk about things we shouldn't talk about? The first thing is it true? Does it have any truth? The H is it helpful? Am I helping anyone by saying what I'm about to say? Or am I going to make the situation better, or am I going to set it on fire with my mouth? Am I going to cause it to spread and spread and spread and spread? Or am I going to do everything I can to help stop the craziness? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Am I going to inspire someone to be better or to be more Christ-like? Or am I going to pull people away from what the scripture says we are actually supposed to be? Is it necessary? do I need to say anything about this at all? Or is that something that needs to die with me? How many of you know there's a lot of things that need to stop with you? It comes to you. Doesn't need to go any further. You know what? If somebody comes to you in confidence, it needs to stop with you. Doesn't ever need to go any further. You say, well, they didn't say it. Oh, come on, man. You know. That's one of those, I'm justifying my actions by saying what I'm saying. Right? And the last thing is it kind? Am I being kind with my words, or am I being hateful? Hey, how about if am I being neutral? How many know you still need to be kind? Well, I wasn't mean, so it's okay. No. You still need to be kind with your words. How many of you know that? How many of you want people to be kind when they speak to you about whatever it is? Everything that is said should be true, but not everything that is true should be said. Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Necessary? Is it kind? Because gossip hurts. Rumors hurt. Do you know how many people have lost their jobs and will never be able to get another job in the field that they worked in because somebody told a lie about them? And even though it was disproven, it's still going to be there forever. Still going to be there forever. Whispers are being heard. People are hearing them. It's being passed and passed and passed. And if all of us were polled today, and I ask you, I was like, do you want to hurt anyone? Like, do you wake up in the morning and say, man, I can't wait to hurt somebody today. I can't wait to tear somebody's life down today. I can't wait to start something that's just going to keep going and going and going and cause damage to people. Every single one of you would say, no, that's not what I want. Even if I don't like them, I don't want to say bad stuff about them. I don't want them to hurt because I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like. So we're going to talk about hurt from gossip. And who does gossip hurt? The first thing in your notes is gossip hurts the person that it's spoken about. And that's one of those ones that's like, yeah, that's self-explanatory. Gossip hurts the person that it's spoken about. And Proverbs 16:28 says this, a dishonest man spreads strife, and the whisperer separates close friends. The New Living Translation said, a troublemaker plants the seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. You know what? You can be the best of friends and say something that's inappropriate or wrong to someone, and it get back to them, whether it was said in love or whether it was said to help or not, and it completely destroy everything. But that's not what I wanted to do. That's not what I meant to do. That's not what I did. Just because it wasn't the purpose of what happened, it still happened. And it still did damage. How many of you know people can take what you say and perceive it in a completely different way than you said it, and it do damage? That's why we have to be so careful with our words. So careful with our words. There's some of you that know exactly what that message is, that scripture is talking about. You've been separated by a close friend or maybe a family member. Maybe you confided in them and they broke your trust and they were the ones that gossiped by sharing something with somebody else. Maybe for you it's more significant and you, there's a struggle that you have. You thought a person was going to help you, but their gossip ended up hurting you more than if you would have ever confided in someone to start with. You know, that's one of the reasons why people don't go to people with their struggles. That's one of the reasons why people stay away from people when they're going through the middle of issues, because they don't trust people. Because somebody hurt them. Somebody said something. And so because of that, there is no one I can talk to about the issue. I am all alone in my issue. And you know what? You're not alone in your issue. There's thousands, probably millions of people that are going through the exact same thing that you're going through right now, regardless of what it is. Regardless of what it is, you are not alone. Or there's people, I guarantee you, that are sitting in this room that are either facing or have faced what you're going through right now. Do you know one part of the good that comes out of the situation? You know, like when we go through a situation and there's good things can come out of every situation, and you're looking at it and say, nothing good can come out of this. Do you know what the good is? When you've gone through the situation, you can look back and see people that are going through that same situation. Say, I know where you're at. Let me help you. And they say, no, you don't know where I'm at. And I say, okay, I'm going to share something with you now. I don't share this with a lot of people, but this is why. Now, I can't ever say I don't share this with a lot of people. I tell everybody everything, pretty much. But you can say that, right? Like, I I don't share this with a lot of people, but I was abused when I was younger because somebody was verbally abusive to me, or I went through this when I was younger and not a lot of people know about it, or I was in this situation, or I was attached to the situation. You know what? People who go through situations are so much more equipped to help people go through that situation than people that have never seen or known anything about it. But because of hurt, because someone spoke something that I told them in confidence before, now I can't not just tell them, but I can't tell anybody. Somebody comes to you, you need to keep it always, regardless of, well, but I thought, but I wanted, but no, no buts. Let's stop. If it comes to you, hold on to it. If they say you can share it, right? If you're unsure about it, call the person and say, hey, so-and-so is going through the same situation you're going through, right? Christopher, Brandon's going through the situation you went through. Can I talk to him about that? Or would you like to talk to them about that? Right? Well, y'all aren't shouting me down a whole lot. Thanks for that. Amen. I like it, but I'm hoping it's just sinking in and you're mulling it over in your brain. So the next thing that it hurts is the listener. The listener. Gossip hurts the listener. I know some of you are like, now, did I just hear that right? The listener. Yep, you did. Let's see what the Bible says about it. You ready? Proverbs 17:4. An evil doer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ears to a mischievous tongue. The New Living Translation says, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. Right? People that love to gossip sure won't pay attention and get details right, whether they share them right or not. Right? So if you're listening to gossip, according to Scripture, you're doing wrong by just listening to it. Do you know that if I commit a crime and Jim is standing next to me, and even though he don't know I'm robbing his grocery store or gas station, me and you doing it, let's go for a bank. We're going to go rob a bank, me and Jim. Shane, come with us. Oh, no. Shane, don't come with us. That's really bad for your job. Banks have more money, man. I'm just saying. But you know what? If Jim just goes in to cash his check and he's standing next to me and we come in together and we get in the same car together and leave, Jim is just as guilty as I am in the court of law. Right? So what do you mean? If I listen, I'm wrong? Yeah. If you listen to it, you're wrong. You need to stop it. You need to stop it. If you're listening to gossip, you're doing just as wrong. And let me share this with you. This is something that you need to put in your pocket and hold on to, because it's a principle, and we put it up on the screen. Who gossips to you will gossip about you. Who gossips to you will gossip about you. Right? Well, let's give them something to talk about, right? Let's just say, hey, man, don't talk about my friend like that. It's wrong. Why don't we call them up right now? Do you know one of the best ways to stop gossip? Hey, do you know what happened with them? So-and-so. Like, I don't know. Let's go find out. Grab their hand and just walk on with them. You know what? They're going to talk about you in a minute, but they're not going to come back to you with gossip, right? They're not. Don't even try and defend it, man. It's the truth. Whoever gossips to you will gossip about you. And here's another way to think about it. What you allow, you promote. What you allow to listen to come, for people to come and tell you about, you promote it because you're not putting a stop to it. You say, well, I'm being neutral. No, you're not. You're picking a side. You're either going to pick to go to the one that's being gossiped about, or you're picking the one who's gossiping. There's not a middle ground there. There's not a middle ground. You say, well, I'm going to start a big can of worms if I go and tell this person that person said something. Well, don't go tell them. Just say, hey, you need to stop, and I don't want to hear no more about it. If you're going to allow someone to talk about your friend, talk about your family member, whoever it is, even if it's just an acquaintance, you're promoting what they're saying by your inaction. The Bible's clear. It's wrong to listen to gossip. And this is the thing. How many of you know? We know that it is. Even when it's being spoken to us, we know that it's just not right. that we need to not be doing it. But how many of you know, like I said earlier, it's like tasty morsels. We just want to gobble it up sometimes. We just want to hear it. I just want to hear it. Well, I'm just going to listen to see what they say. I'm not going to share it or anything. But how many of you know it hurts? It hurts. Because gossip hurts the listener. Gossip hurts the person that is spoken about. And the last thing is gossip hurts the speaker. So this is what we understand as gossip hurts everyone involved. Everyone involved. Proverbs 25, 9 and 10 says this. Argue your case with your neighbor himself. Do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute will have no end. Your ill repute will have no end. New Living Translation says it like this. When you argue with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never regain your good reputation. How many of you know you could do right a whole bunch, and you could mess up one time, and all of it be gone? Right? Shane and I can have the perfect relationship, best friends, which we're really good friends, right? But I can gossip about Shane to Jim, and Jim could go to Shane, and it destroy our relationship forever, whether or not what was said was true or not. He said, well, how do I control that? You have a reputation that people know that you will not listen to it, period, right? We're known by what, according to the scripture? Our fruit. You're known by your fruit. If Shane knows that I have a tendency to gossip or to tell a little bit of the story a little bit, then guess what happened? When Jim comes to him, he's going to be like, man, he's at it again. Or he's going to be like, man, that doesn't sound like Toby. Let me call him up and just say, hey, man, you know, this is what happened. That's how it's supposed to work, right? According to scripture, that's how it's supposed to work. I'm going to skip down in my notes. I went way down in my notes, so I'm going to come back. Hold that thought. That's how it's supposed to work. You could spend a lifetime building a good reputation and it get tripped by whispers of gossiping, and the Bible says that you'll never regain that good status. Always in the back of your mind, you'll always be thinking, man, can I really tell this person that? Man, is what I say right now going to be changed to something totally different? Because that's how it works. That's how it works. When you're listening or you're hearing gossip, someone speaking gossip, nobody looks at that person again the same way. Nobody ever looks at the person speaking gossip and tearing someone down and thinks, man, I wish I could be just like them, right? If I'm gossiping to Shane, Shane's not looking at me like, man, I wish I could gossip just like he does. He's amazing. He's the best gossiper I know. No. He's like, I don't want to be around this. I don't want to be around this. Cutting people with my mouth, tearing people down with my words, it's going to be amazing. This is going to be just great. Guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be by myself and I ain't going to have no friends. I have nobody around me. Why? Because nobody wants to be around that other than people that love to do that. Think about it. I got to be careful of what I do and share with this person, because if they're gossiping to me, they're going to be gossiping about me. Gossip hurts the speaker. Listen to this thought. Gossip is the devil's radio. Don't be his DJ. Right? You can put that one on Twitter. Right? Gossip is the devil's radio. Don't be his DJ. It's a trap, and man, it'll cost you your reputation. It will. It will. I'm saying, well, not with everybody. Well, let's think this thought. There's people who gossip and people who don't gossip. And if I'm going to destroy my reputation with somebody, where do I want to go? I mean, I'm going to the ones who don't gossip, like personally. That's who I want to be associated. That's who I want to be known as. Gossip hurts the listener, it hurts the speaker, and everybody, so everybody gets hurt. So how do I get things in check? Here's the good news. God makes all things possible. Amen? How many of you know, even if you're deep in the middle of it, he can bring you out of it? We can be delivered from everything. We can be taken out of everything. What if I've been just a listener and I haven't been saying anything? He can help you get out of that as well. And we're going to talk about a couple of different ways. Today is my goal that I can give you two tools that we can easily apply so that we can immediately control, not just control it, but stop it. You ready? The first one in your notes is guard your ears. Guard your ears. How can I do that? I hear it and then it's done, right? No. You can ask them this question. Why are you telling me this? Hey, Jim, do you know what happens to Shane? You know what Shane did? Like, why are you telling me this? Like, I don't need to know what happened to Shane unless Shane wants to share it with me, right? Well, we need to pray about it, Jim. Jim, me and you, we need to pray about it. Well, just tell me I need to pray for Shane and that'll work, right? That'll do. Why are you telling me this? Or if that's just a little bit too forward for you, you can ask this question. Have you had a chance to talk to them about it first? Like, have you had a chance to talk to Shane about what's going on in the situation? Where did you get this information? Right? Well, so-and-so told me, and they got it from so-and-so. Well, I can't reveal my sources. Well, then I don't want to talk about it. Right? I don't want to talk about people that can't be held responsible or accountable for the things that they say, because I don't know that it's true. Right? Let's find out about it. But that will most likely get the same results. No, I haven't. Either question. No, I haven't. So then let's change the subject. Where does that amazing question come from, you ask? It comes from Jesus. How many of you know Jesus knows what he's talking about, right? You say, well, what do you mean? This is Matthew 18, 15. It says, if a brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone. If he listens, you have gained a brother. So do you know what? If me and Nick have an issue, and I go to Nick and I say, Nick, this is where I'm at. This is what I saw from what you said. Help me with this. I don't want there to be an issue between me and you. And I do that with Nick. Guess what? When we get done talking and we find out what's going on and we work it out, we're going to be closer than we ever were before. But if I go to Jim and I say, Jim, this is what Nick said, man, you know, we really need to pray for him. And then Jim says, man, this is what Toby said you said. Guess what? Then me and him are farther apart than we could have been before. And it's going to be harder to build that relationship back. It's going to be hard to build that relationship back than if I would have just handled it correctly. Our instinct is to go to other people and to tell them what issue we have with that other person. And do you know why we do that? It's under the guise of, I was just trying to get a reference point as to how I should handle the situation. Be honest. No, you were looking for somebody that's going to agree with exactly what you're saying about the situation, so you got ammunition. Even so-and-so thinks it that way. So now, you know what? You not only destroyed your relationship, but the relationship with so-and-so and Nick. Right? Have you had a chance to talk to him about it? You're actually helping them to do what Jesus tells them to do. How many of you know that's a good thing? Right? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to lead people to be Christ-like. It stops the gossip. Stop gossiping and go to the individual and talk to them. If you don't do this, then what happens? The whispers continue and they grow and they grow and they hurt more and more people. Maybe you have to distance yourself from the person or even sever the relationship. Say, well, that's not scripture. We can't do that. Let me read Proverbs 20:19. How many know Proverbs has a lot of wisdom? let me just say this. This book is like your cell phone. You say, what? It has so much information that you can access if you access it. We talk on the phone. We play some games. I mean, I like the bubble pop game. It's a lot of fun. I play that. I maybe look up some scriptures. I listen to the radio on it sometimes, you know, like Spotify and different things like that. And that's about the extent of what I do with my cell phone. Take some pictures. I take pictures, post them to Facebook. I forgot that. That's important too. Instagram, all that stuff. It's great. But do you know my cell phone does so much more? And it's because I'm ignorant of it that I can't function it right. I can't function properly and use it the way that it was intended. Do you know the scripture is the same way? There's so much information in here on how we are supposed to act, how we are supposed to treat people, what we're supposed to do. And the only reason why we are lost in our situation is because we have not accessed the information that is there. So because of it, we act inappropriately. We don't act in the right way. This thing, this word changes us, not itself. Right? His word is always the same. But how many of you know in a different situation, I can read a scripture and it says something totally different? Not to contradict itself, but to show me more what it's saying. Right? How to handle my situation. Man, I've read that scripture I don't know how many times, and I've never seen it say that before. It's because the Holy Spirit shows it to you, right? There's so much wisdom in here. And one of the ones that I want to read right now, Proverbs 20:19. Who knows? Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. I like how it says that, simple babbler. New Living Translation says a gossip goes around telling secrets. Don't hang around with chatterers. Why? Because that's what you end up becoming. That's what you end up becoming. It's important, the people that you allow to speak into your life, the people that you hang out with all the time. When I first met April, I was in Baton Rouge, and I was working at that time as a corrections officer in Hunt Correctional Facility, and I was in what they called a Beavers before. It was back in the back. There were four tiers to it, and these were the guys that were locked down 23 hours a day and got to come out once a day, like 1 hour, right? And they ate where they were at. They did everything where they were at. They didn't come out. They were not nice people, or they had done. Let me say that they had done not nice things. They may have been great people, but they got around the wrong people maybe and made bad choices. Because, you know, there's some people that end up in certain places that aren't bad. They just didn't choose well to get there. It happens. But this is the thing. So I have been in the Navy. And my language when I was in the Navy, you know how they say curse like a sailor? Like, magnify that about like 10 times, right? I was the guy who every sentence had at least one word in it that it probably shouldn't have had ever. It was an adjective to explain something. Like it was a blank water, not just a water, right? Or a blank TV remote. That's how it was back in the Beavers, right? So I'm there working, and I'm working the night shift, and so there's not a lot going on except for the guys that are there. Some of them sleep, some of them don't. They just sleep whenever they want because they're in there all the time anyway. And so in the process of that, I started, one, getting very, very angry. Because everyone I was around most of the time was very, very angry. I slept in the daytime where all the people that I was around went to work and did the things and was up and doing things. I got up, went to church in the evenings, and on Sundays, if I wasn't working, I would stay up and do that. And then I would, the majority of the people I was around were mad because they were where they were at, were hateful to me because of the position that I had, right? And that every other word that came out of their mouth explained something in a negative manner, right? And so do you know what ended up happening to me? I started to revert back to my Navy days, and they would say something to me, and I would repeat it back word for word. You know how you do that? Like a kid say, hey, will you give me this? Like, well, I'm not going to give you this, right? I would do that, and my mouth started changing. Why? Because I was around it all the time. Because I was around it all the time. It started to change me. Bad character corrupts good morals. That's scripture too, right? So why is it important that I make sure the people that I hang out with all the time are not gossiping, are not talking about it, are not trying to tear other people down, but that are trying to build people up and speak life into people? Why is it so important? Because you know what? I'm going to start doing the same thing. I need to have that in my life. You need to stop. You need to get away from people that are negative all the time, that are talking about other people all the time, that get joy from tearing other people down. The whispers with the people that gossip is very, very simple, very clear instruction from the book of Proverbs. We need to step away from it. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to guard our ears. The second thing we're going to do is to close our mouth. How many of you know that's a difficult one for some of us? We need to close our mouth. It's very simple thought, and it's very effective. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. How many of you want to stay out of trouble? How many of you know, according to the scripture, is one of the most difficult things to do? If a man could control his mouth, he'd be perfect, right? Woo! I was never going to be perfect with the mouth we got, huh? Whoever keeps his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. New Living Translation, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Keep your mouth shut. Some of us need to write that on our mirror in the morning when we get up. And we look up and like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut. All right, let's go with it. Maybe set reminders on our phone so every hour it tells us, keep your mouth shut. Okay, yeah, I've been talking. Keep your mouth shut. I need to do that myself probably. If you're feeling the need to share, ask yourself again this question. If I was this person, would I want them talking about me that way? Basically, it's another principle Jesus gave us. Luke 6:31. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. We just thought that was like a kindergarten thing, right? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. If you don't want them to do it to you, you don't want them to pinch you, then don't pinch them, right? So ask yourself this question. When I'm about to speak about another person who's not around, would I want someone speaking the same kind of information about me if I wasn't there? If we start to do that. One of the things that I learned from my old pastor, and I try to put it into play, but how many of you know sometimes we don't do the things we want to do, right? We all struggle with it sometimes, but learning to understand that what I say has weight and that what I say can be turned into any situation. How many of you know we need to be very careful about how we say the words that we say? So I don't want to say things about someone that I wouldn't say to them. So this is, I ask him, because we would have conversations. I'm like, dude, it's me. Just go ahead and tell me what you're thinking. And he's like, no. He said, I try to pretend or to imagine that person is still standing there in our conversation when I speak about them so that I never say anything that I wouldn't want them to hear. So the next time I'm in a conversation, I'm gonna be talking to Nick about Christopher, I'm gonna pretend that Christopher's standing right there in a situation and that he's a part of this as well. And if I'm uncomfortable with him hearing it, even though he's not there, I'm not gonna say it to Nick. And guess what? It changes everything. It changes a lot of the conversation we have that's just idle chatter, right? So we have to guard our ears, we have to close our mouths. And here's the problem with complaining or gossiping or lying or criticizing. You could say the problem is with your big fat mouth, but guess what? It's not really. It's not really. It's our broken and stained heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if it's inside, it's going to come out. And that's why it's so important that we have our heart in the right place. About everything. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure of his heart produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we're finding ourselves speaking bitterness, speaking things that we shouldn't speak, not speaking life, not speaking truth, not speaking things that are kind, not speaking love into people's lives, we need to stop talking and examine our hearts at that moment. We need to stop talking and say, hey, I don't want to be throwing out them tasty bits of morsels for them to gobble up. I don't want to. I don't want to. But this is the one thing. I want you to see this one on the screen. You got this one on the screen? We got another one on the screen? I don't think so. Maybe I didn't put this on the screen. You can write it down if I don't. Yeah, there it is. Gossip claims, I am strong because they are weak. I'm strong because they're weak. They've got issues. Look how good I am because I'm exposing the issues, right? I'm strong because they are weak. But the gospel proclaims, I am weak, but he is strong. Everything I get that's good inside of me because of it is because he's given it to me. It's because of him. It's because of the Christ that is inside of me. Because our human nature, guess what? We like to cause trouble. Just be honest. Right? It happens from the time that we're a kid. Growing up, the things we do, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about people paying attention to me. And they're going to come to me because I have all the good things to say about everybody else. So they have ammunition. When they're upset about them, they can talk about it too. Right? But the gospel proclaims, I am weak, but he is strong. We share the gospel because if we can talk about somebody else's shortcomings, if we could talk about somebody else's addictions, if we can talk about somebody else's problems, then I don't have to talk about mine. That's what gossip's about. I can point out everybody else's faults so I don't look, I don't feel so inadequate, so insecure. Gossip claims that I'm strong because they are weak. The gospel proclaims I am weak, but he is strong. Again, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when we're ready to recognize that, when we're ready to understand that, we're ready to do something about that, our whole life will change. The people that we allow to be a part of it, the people that we allow. And then we start to understand, to combat the weakness that we feel in our own life, the insecurity that we feel in our own life. When we give our lives to Christ, when we understand who we are in God, when we understand what this book says about who we are, who you are, who God created you to be, you'll understand that God speaks life over us. God speaks life over us. We are accepted. We are forgiven. We are loved. We are his workmanship. We are wonderfully made. And this is the thing. We're worthy enough that we can be a vessel that carries his gospel to the world. You say, but you don't know my issues. You don't know my things. I don't care what they are. I don't. And this is the thing. Give them to God. He don't care either. Right? Sin separates us from him. Coming to him and saying, hey, I'm not who I should be. I'm not what I should be. Please help me. Changes everything. Changes everything. You say, well, you don't know the dysfunction that I have. You don't know my issues. You don't know the things that I'm insecure about. Just look, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. The scripture says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And do you know what the differences that you have in your life? Look, it might be fun if everybody was exactly like me. But it would be boring, right? It would be boring. Why? Because everybody's the same. We get a variety. We get to be different things. We get to use our gifts in different ways. The ways that I'm good at things and the things that you are good at are two different things. So we just need to never hang out. No, we need to come together and then we're both good at those things. Why? Because as a team, we could be so much better. Yeah. So I can be mad that Shane knows how to take care of brakes and do brakes. Or I can hand him the wrenches while he's down there and be like, hey, man, you need a water or something? Man, he's just, look, nope, you didn't miss it. You're good. I have no clue what we're doing here. Right? Right? I'm an encourager when he changed my brakes the other day. Why? Because he knows how to do it, and I don't. So when we come together, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm putting into this relationship. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But do you know what? That's why we have these things and these abilities. And when we start making ourselves like, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I'm not good at this and I look like that and I did this, that, we take ourselves out of what God says that we are. You say, well, I'm just being honest. No, man. No. You're seeing it from a messed up perspective. You're seeing it from a hurt perspective, from a insecure perspective, from a selfish perspective. And God's saying, this is who you are and who I created you to be. And look, nobody's going to be as good of you as you are. Right? We can pretend. We can act like other people. We can try and make ourselves be like them. Now, let me say this. It's good to find characteristics and traits that are in other people and say, I need to work on that myself. Right? My pastor, again, he every word that he says, it doesn't matter who he's talking about, he will make a 2-minute conversation, a 30-minute conversation, because he's trying to find the right words to say and not disrespect people. Wish I was like that. So do you know what? I'm going to do everything I can to start working towards that. How do I do that? I need to, first of all, stop the stuff that's coming in as negative. Not to listen to it. And then I need to shut my mouth and not just say the first thing comes to my head. Put on a filter. If you feel like you weren't born with a filter. Sometimes that's how I feel. But do you know what? You can develop one. That's the cool thing. If he's giving it to one person, he'll give it to you too. Let's pray about it. But then get ready, because you're going to have some opportunities to just spit some stuff out. And you're going to have to put your filter on. Right? That's what happens. Don't pray for patience, because then you're going to have some trials for patience. The people in front of you. Oh, look, y'all. Look, I'm trying patience still too. And I pray about it. And like I said, I should take my own advice. But I do want it to change. So I went to Publix the other day. And this one lady was in the... I had one item. So I went to the item that says 10 or less items. And this woman had 35 things in her cart. I know this because I counted them as that woman scanned it. And then when she scanned the first two, she said, oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot my sweet potatoes. If y'all know anything about sweet potatoes at Publix, they're in the back far corner. She then proceeded to walk out the front of the aisle, leaving her cart and the lady checking out her stuff, and walked all the way back to the sweet potatoes in the back of the store, and it came all the way back and got in and said, oh, thank you for your patience. I'm like, I ain't got no patience. You're welcome, ma'am. Right? I was so, like, go to that register. They all have 75 items too. But it was me that needed to be adjusted at that moment, not her. Now, she could have went to the right line. I get that. But do you know what? The way we react to situations when people are wrong says everything about our character. Do you know what I wanted to do so bad? And I didn't. I closed my mouth. I wanted to look to the person that was behind, because there were two ladies behind us, and one of them had two, and one of them had one item too. And I turned around to them, I said, ma'am, y'all might want to go to the customer service desk, because they take people up there and there's nobody in line right now. She's like, well, why don't you go? I was like, no, I'm good. I'll stay here. I've been here for a minute. Y'all go ahead. Right? Why? Because I'm working on my patience, and I get that. But that don't mean they understand it. But I wanted to turn around to them and be like, hey, don't you just love it when somebody that's got 35 items comes to the 10 item or less aisle? Loud enough so the woman in front of me could hear it. I wanted to. But what is that? That's gossiping. If I wanted to say something, I should have just said something to her. But you know what? It wasn't worth it. God's building my character in the middle of this situation, giving me patience in the middle of this situation. I should stop asking for patience. No, I need to keep asking for it and understand that that's what is happening at this time. If you want to stop gossiping, if you want to stop listening to things, man, pray about it. But understand, there's going to be some people that's going to come to you, maybe as soon as service is over, and talk about what I said about this message. Do you hear what he said? Do you know what he did the other day? Man, if I did it, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, right? I guarantee you, most of the things that people talk about other people, if they understood that was the perspective of it, they would change everything. Right? We need to guard our ears. We need to guard our mouth. And we need to open our hearts to God's voice. Amen. Guys, you can come on back up. We're about to stop. We're about to stop. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Why do I want y'all to close your eyes? Because I don't want to give you some ammunition to gossip. You know what? So-and-so raised their hand. They didn't raise their hand. They should have raised their hand this morning. And that was all about them. No. This is about you right now. Don't think about nobody else. You need to bow your heads and close your eyes and be honest with yourself and with me. I've got an issue. I've got an issue with saying things, with gossiping, with talking about people. And I need to stop. I need to change those things. You be honest with myself and with yourself and with God and say, God, I need to change those things. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. Nobody looking around. I've got that issue and I need to change it. Just put them up, put them back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I need to change. Thank you, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, right now you saw the hands that were raised. You know their hearts, Father God. You know the issues that they're battling and the things that they're facing. I thank you that you've spoken this word out of your word this morning, that we could talk about it. I thank you that you've given us this. But again, knowledge without action doesn't do us any good. We ask right now that you would help us to close our ears, to guard our mouth, guard our ears, close our mouth. And right now, I ask that you would transform our hearts to love other people. To focus on other people. To put away our insecurities and understand what the Word of God says. Today, you've got a heart issue and you understand it. You want God to change it. Say, maybe you've given your life to Christ, but you've stepped away. Or maybe you're just not living your life the way you know that you should. Maybe you're allowing excuses to come in as to why you are able to do those things and to keep doing those things. But you know what? Excuses aren't any good. We can call them reasons if you want. They're still the same thing. They're not any good. They're not going to make you feel any better about yourself or any better about the situations that you're going through. The only thing that can do that is to allow God to change your heart and renew your mind. Say, I've never given my life to him, and this morning I want to give him an opportunity to change me. This morning I'm gonna make a commitment, not to you, not to me, Pastor, not to Pastor Toby, not to me, but to God. I want my heart to change. God, show me how to change it. God, give me direction on how to make all things new, as your scripture says. That's you this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. I need that in my life. Just put your hand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want you to say this prayer with me this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I need to change. I need to be who you created me to be. Your son died and rose again so that I could be made new. I accept it now. Help me change. Help me be who you created me to be. I understand according to your word. You hear me and you answer me. And I am new. Help me live in it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Let's give God a hand this morning. You say, well, I've prayed this prayer before and it didn't make a change. Do you know what? I'm just going to be real with y'all. I pray that prayer on a daily basis. I'm just being real. Because you know what? Sometimes I wake up and I don't feel like being loving to people. Especially at like 5:30 in the morning, it's hard to do anything at that time, right? When my kids are not acting the way they should, it's easy for me to be a jerk. But you know what? I'm just glad God's not a jerk when I'm not acting right. I'm glad that he gives me the opportunity. And because of that, do you know what? I need to extend it to him. Why? We are given so that we can give. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others in every aspect of our lives. Maybe today you need to change some of the people you hang out with. Maybe today you need to change some of the things you're watching on TV or putting in your system in the internet. Do you know what? For like 3 days, I didn't go on the internet unless somebody commented on my name. And then I opened it up, I liked it, and I shut that sucker right back down. Why? Because it can be a negative place. Depending on who you're following, depending on what you're watching, depending on the things that you go to and see the videos, what you've done in your past, maybe you need to go and reset everything. Like, look, I'm tired of this one. I'm going to put a new Facebook page, and it's going to be a little bit different, and I'm going to shut this one down and accept all new people if they come. And I'm only going to let the people in that's going to speak life into my life. Like, well, I ain't going to have half the people I have. It's not about the people you have. It's about the quality of people that are speaking into your life. Right? We need to understand that. So, this is what I want us to do. We're going to sing a song. What are we going to sing?
The sound that saved us all.
What he just said. We're going to sing that. So, stand to your feet. The sound that saved us all. How many of you know we all can be saved? I'm glad he lets me be a part of it.